Good morning, Louise.
Good morning, Tracy.
It's almost December.
That's right. The countdown has begun.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's kind of funny because with the exhibition Dark Nights at the gallery, we talk about how to get through the winter.
Get through the winter.
Yeah. And there's strategies to get through the winter.
Yeah, of course there are.
And there's lots of times when people are looking forward to things and it's basically their own countdown, right?
Yes.
Countdown to Christmas, countdown to solstice, countdown to the time when the sun's going to start coming back. So for some reason, it's a season of countdowns.
It is. Absolutely. I'm looking forward to the snow.
Yeah, it's pretty warm today.
Weird, mild. I heard like the birds are out again, and I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
We're sort of in this weird, climate change.
Yeah, welcome to climate change, mm-hmm. and it's happening faster than anybody expected.
Yes.
Scientists are now saying the estimates they had even 2-3 years ago are off the mark. It's happening way faster than they had estimated.
Yeah.
So we have to make some massive changes
quickly
in our very near future.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to see that our local council is doing such things, and there's initiatives all over the town and there's all over the province, and stuff is happening.
I know why. I am sort of way off topic, but there won't be anything left to throw out. Right?
Well, hopefully.
Because if we have organics and recycling, what is there to throw out? I mean, other than...
Well, see, I think the problem with recycling is that you're still making stuff.
Yes, of course.
It still exists. You still have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
So the key is, for me, what I feel like, is to stop making the stuff.
Yes, yes, yes.
So use reusable things rather than making things that are recyclable.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a massive problem, right? Like, you've got to have the facilities.
Yeah, just like people say, well, I'll just use plastic bags because I use them for garbage bags. So I'm recycling. Well, technically, no, you're not doing that.
Yeah. And also the problem with this biodegradable plastic is that it doesn't
it falls apart in like a bazillion little pieces.
Yeah, but it's still plastic.
Yes, exactly.
You're still made plastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then compostable plastic it's made with plant-based things.
Yes.
So that's fine for the 1,000-year breakdown, but it's not compostable in your local little compost, right? Mm-hmm. It has to be heated to be composted. So there has to be facilities for that. So we're talking about so many divisions and people having to sort their various kinds of garbage. In my little world, I feel like it's easier to just not buy the garbage.
Yeah.
Like not buy the packaging that makes it happen. You can use your own packaging at the bulk food store.
Yes.
You can choose things that have less packaging. You like just don't buy it. Just vote with your dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
and it really is. It's also the countdown season. It's also consumption season, right?
Yeah, this is the problem. We're heading into a season where that kind of over plasticking packaging happens everywhere.
So much of it.
It's kind of awful
to
look at some days.
I'm torn because for the last 3 years, I've done this kindness tree downtown and I put little gift bags of little things that people can take, like ornaments you can take home with you.
Yeah.
And there are things like Kleenex and tea bags and, you know, toothbrushes and mints. But everything is individually wrapped. And it kind of breaks my heart to... I tried to do recyclable glass containers one time, but you're not allowed technically to put glass on a tree.
What about little paper bags?
Yeah, paper bags. But then people don't really understand what's going on there.
Yeah, you'd have to write on the outside what is in there.
Yeah, I could do that. Please take me home.
Yeah. Take me home. I've got such and such inside.
Yes. Oh, that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. But then if it rains
or
it snows, it gets all wet. Although they don't really stay for long. They're usually gone within a day.
So. Yeah. And if the way you decorate, you know, if they're protected by each branch, right? If they're hanging below the branch, it should keep it mostly.
Well, I'm going to test that.
Okay.
Yeah.
This year will be entirely biodegradable.
Well, I could use those little recycle, you know, like the little Chinese takeaway, you can buy those and craft.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So you just have to be careful because some of those are not recyclable.
No,
they seem
they're
like
waxed.
They're paper.
Yeah,
because they've got wax on them. They're not paper recyclable.
Dang.
And then they're not regular compostable.
Right.
They have to be special composted.
Right.
So anyway, just.
Yeah. And now everybody gets a pine cone then. I don't.
You could stuff things in a pine cone.
I know, right? Anyway, all that to say that today's topic is the world history of
advent calendars.
Aren't they fun?
Well, they are fun. And it's problematic because it's like, oh, yay, the little toys, the little candies, the little chocolates.
Yes.
But they're all individually wrapped. So
individually wrapped in molded plastic.
Yes. Yeah.
In a cardboard box.
Yeah. But it's kind of, it's our countdown. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the ways we get through the winter.
For sure.
And there's been an explosion.
Yes.
Of different kinds of
advent calendars. Oh, and that's so exciting. The anticipation, you know. Let me ask you this. Do you remember having advent calendars when you were little?
Yes.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I did. I remember that they were the little tiny cardboard ones.
Yes.
And you opened the little door and inside was a little chocolate. It was the most awful waxy chocolate you could imagine.
Yeah, but I vaguely remember, but not as my, I mean, I've got a couple years on you, but not little, but more like teen little.
Yeah, I think it might have been in my late littles, right?
Late littles.
Like 8, 9, 10 years
right,
old or
so. Right, so that would have been my early teens.
But I do remember that my very first advent calendar didn't have chocolates in it. They were just little doors, and you opened it, and there was just a little picture inside.
Yeah.
Yeah. So chocolates didn't come into my world until a little bit later.
Yeah, it was just, and so advent is really the preparing for the arrival of the baby Jesus.
Right.
In the Catholic faith. I mean, I think it exists in other faiths in agnostic, you know.
Well, we're talking about the Christian Catholic sort of base of a lot.
I want to say pagan, but that doesn't seem like a nice word. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's all based on the seasons.
Yes.
Really.
And it's all based on the midwinter ritual too.
So, preparing for the 21st, technically. Yeah.
Which is why Christmas has become so secularized, because mm-hmm. it's not really just a Christian thing. The midwinter ritual is, you know, fairly global.
Mm-hmm.
And so people can celebrate it and choose to celebrate all those midwinter things around mm-hmm. Christmas without saying that they're Christian or Catholic and are celebrating the birth of Jesus.
Right. And so, I don't know. Oh, I'm probably going to go straight to H-E double hockey stick for saying this, but wasn't the 21st or the, what's it called? The equinox? No.
That's the solstice.
Okay. The solstice was such a big event that the Catholic Church kind of said, hey, you guys got something going on here. We're going to attach ourselves to it.
Well, yeah, it was their way of hiding their celebration of Jesus's birth,
right?
Because the theory is that Jesus was born in April.
Yeah, but so much easier to plan a party when there's something else.
Everybody else is partying, and so they're like, "Yeah, no, we're cool. Everything's fine. We're just doing what you're doing.
We're doing what you're doing.
Yep, we're not so subversive."
Yeah,
yeah. So really, that was the strategy, and now we have a lot of midwinter.
In April.
Yeah, no, I think that's
your birthday party has been changed.
Yeah. So we can hide, so that we don't die.
Okay.
Right?
I didn't know that part.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Okay. Good.
Because they weren't exactly, you know, welcomed as a
big man
new
on
religion?
Campus. Yeah.
Awesome. Welcome. Anyway. Okay. So that is the...
Wow. Do we go in lots of circles on this show?
Yeah. We really do. It's super fun.
But it is. It's preparing. It's Advent is... I mean, I just think of French avant, like before. That's kind of...
preparing
In preparation of.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. And there were lots of ways to do this in the early mm-hmm. days. So mm-hmm. it's mostly like 18th century kind of stuff where Christians would actually make chalk marks on their door in the countdown to Christmas.
Yes.
That was kind of an Advent. And then there were early Advent candles and mm-hmm. Advent clocks.
Mm-hmm.
That was early 19th century.
Yes.
And those were, I mean, that's obvious. You have a candle for the 24 days before Christmas. You mm-hmm. light a new candle, you know. And then in 1902, a Christian bookshop in Hamburg, Germany, mm-hmm. published a Christmas clock, so a printed Christmas clock. And then in 1904, this kind of Advent calendar was inserted into the newspaper for the reader. So it's kind of the first mass distribution of an Advent calendar type thing, the Advent clock.
Thank you, movable type.
Yeah, exactly, right? And then in 1908, the first kind of what we imagine as an advent calendar was actually printed by a Schwabian parishioner's son named Gerhard Lang.
Hmm.
And when Gerhard was a kid, his mom would take these advent calendars that were cardboard and she would stick a candy to the cardboard so that he could have a candy. Yeah,
everything.
The funnest mom ever invented the candy advent calendar, right? So when he grew up and he had a publishing company with another fellow, Reichhold, so it was Reichhold and Lang, And so they published an advent calendar that had little colored pictures.
Yes.
And then later on, they created the little doors.
The doorway.
Open.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then during the war, cardboard was rationed, mm-hmm. and so they stopped production in the 30s.
Ain't got no money for that.
Nope.
Yep.
So there was nothing for about a decade, but then in the early 1940s, another printing company started it again, and in the meantime, there were other ones that had Bible verses and mm-hmm. stuff like that. But this idea of like it being, mm-hmm. you know, a little pictures and little candy calendar started up again. And by the 50s, advent calendars had chocolates in them. So it was a German invention, and all because this guy's mom just rocked it.
Aww.
Just rocked the advent.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's good for kids to learn anticipation and waiting.
Yes.
Because, I mean, like, they're not excited enough already. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you get if you get a candy with each day, it's mm-hmm. like it makes it a little bit more manageable to wait.
And in our house, it was sharing, too, because they had to take turns.
Oh.
Today's Matthew's day. Tomorrow's Sam's day.
Ooh.
Which didn't always go over very well.
I can't imagine mm-hmm. why.
Mm-hmm. Now I just give up and they each get one. I can't be bothered with them.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, they're older now and...
Yeah.
They can't really get them to split that teeny tiny pinky sized chocolate.
The little Santa, Santa mm-hmm. chocolate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So here's something interesting. So mm-hmm. the Advent's popularity really grew around the world, especially after Dwight D. Eisenhower, when he was president of the States, was photographed opening an Advent calendar with his grandchildren. Aww.
Yeah. That would do it.
That would do it. Yeah. That photo was printed in newspapers around the world.
Around the world.
And all of a sudden, everybody had to have an advent calendar.
Gee, I hope nobody starts going with the red Christmas tree from the White House.
There's a red.
That's printed around the internet right now.
Well, it's a different world now, right? We don't get too excited about one photo anymore because there's one photo every microsecond that shocks everybody.
Yeah, it's quite disturbing.
Yeah.
And anyway, somebody photoshopped a handmaid's cap on top of the red trees, and it's just eerie. It's like
we are in strange times.
Very strange times. Like, what happened to good old-fashioned green trees? Actually, we were talking about this just yesterday with some neighborhood friends about real versus fake, because you can buy Christmas at the dollar store.
Yeah, but ew, that's a plastic Christmas.
Yeah.
And you're also like, there's been
but people collect on... but they collect their, they have a collection of decor.
Yeah.
And they really enjoy preparing their home for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So they have this collection of beautiful things that they've collected over the years that mm-hmm. come out every year. But they can't necessarily be real. So they have, you know, they can't be, they're plastic.
Yeah. Okay, but I'm just saying.
And they just reuse all them all the things. Time, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but you can go out and cut some cedar branches every year, too.
Well, that's kind of my gem. But I mean, I have decor. Cones. I mean, I have, speaking of Advent, I have this beautiful little plastic My Little Tyke or whatever, mm-hmm. Little Tykes nativity scene.
Yeah.
Right? With like the donkeys and the... baby Jesus. I lost baby Jesus one time. That was kind of an ordeal. Wait.
Everybody's lost a baby Jesus at some point.
You know, and a little angel. And the boys would play with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is plastic crap, but it means a lot to us. It's weird.
Yeah. In my family, there's a ceramic one.
Yes.
It's very, very old.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, I guess some things are mm-hmm. just there and you use them year after mm-hmm. year, and that's reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
But just remember that a lot of things have been recalled recently from dollar stores just from toxic levels of chemicals in the toys and stuff.
Oh, for sure.
Just be really careful what you buy, right? Mm-hmm. Like, think about it. Mm-hmm. Just because it's pretty in the package mm-hmm. doesn't mean it's healthy.
Yeah, good and to if have you in go, your home. You know, yeah, go to the thrift stores. There's beautiful
things. Tons of Christmas mm-hmm. stuff at the thrift stores.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
And Facebook Buy and Sell, my new favorite place.
Yeah. we have to take a break already.
Already?
I know.
We hardly talked about them at all.
I know, because there's so much else.
Yeah. But we keep getting off track.
Okay, but
okay, we're opening the next window.
Yeah, the next window
the
is
next
open.
Window is
and,
open,
and I'm going to start the crazy advent calendars off with the $50,000 advent calendar.
Woo.
Yeah, most expensive advent calendar
outside my budget.
Yeah, a little. Hey, like you know, Christmas budget's always a little bit bigger, mm-hmm. but you know, still $50,000 is a bit much. So this happened in 2007.
Okay,
Harrods.
Harrods. Oh mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah.
It's one giant advent calendar in there, man. There's beautiful things.
Oh, and there's like world's largest. Wait till we get to the world's largest okay. advent calendar. Okay. So in 2007, they did a Christmas tree shaped structure that was carved from burr, elm, and walnut wood. And it was, it housed every little door that you opened, housed a little piece of green and black's organic chocolate.
Mm.
So you can imagine a 4-foot wooden tree with real wooden little doors that
goodness.
Opened and had chocolate, yeah. really lovely chocolate inside each door. But the nice thing about this $50,000 advent calendar is that the proceeds went to support cocoa farmers in Belize.
See, that's smart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really nice mm-hmm. because you know that in countries like Belize and like all these chocolate and coffee producing countries, it is a really challenging time.
Yeah.
yeah. We can have a whole show about
just
that.
About, yeah, scarcity, chocolate, coffee, vanilla.
Well, and just the structure of the economies mm-hmm. in those places. And mm-hmm. the farmers are typically the very poorest. They're the ones making
especially
us
women.
This stuff. And yeah, they yeah. are getting the most shafted of mm-hmm. anyone. So that's a lovely thought to yeah. support the people that are actually making those things for us. And then, okay, so then the biggest, want to hear this one?
The biggest. So that was the most expensive, now yeah. the biggest.
In the same year, mm-hmm. The world's largest advent calendar was built in London.
Okay.
At the St. Patrick Pancras train station.
Oh, it's such a beautiful station.
Yeah, and it was celebrating the reopening of the station after a renovation.
Yeah.
It measured 232 feet, 11 inches tall. 75 feet.
232 feet?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Holy
75
nummy.
Feet and 5 inches wide.
Okay.
Yeah. That was it. Like, I don't even know what was inside of it, but it must have been
it's
massive,
like
toys and stuff. Yeah. It was crazy. So there you go. I can't even imagine.
What
is 230?
We could do a town advent calendar, and every door could be a day. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Oh,
so and even fun. People could crawl up inside there and be the
yes.
It's like, oh, Louise came out of the
that's right.
12th today.
I'm number 12. I would pick 11, actually. 11's my number.
Oh, okay, okay. Mm-hmm. No, I got an idea. Okay, we'll talk about that
okay.
another time because that would be super fun.
So fun.
Can you imagine? And then you just have an event.
Yeah.
Event for every day of
every
the
day.
Advent. It's like somebody pops out and it's a thing. It's
ta-da!
A performance. It's yeah. a story. It's mm-hmm. a whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Like you could just do all
poetry.
Kinds.
Poetry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that'd be so fun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll stop that one.
All
now.
Right. So
now.
Biggest, so, most expensive.
Yeah. So how about far away?
Okay.
So since 2008... the big picture photo from the Hubble Space Telescope has featured an advent calendar of daily images from the telescope.
Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You could totally do a digital one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, the Atlantic oh, senior awesome. Photo editor chooses the photos
ugh.
And releases one every day.
Nice.
I know. It's kind of fun because
dream
then
job.
It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Kind of expands your universe.
For sure.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of perspective.
Yep.
A lot of perspective.
And also Lego has produced an advent calendar for several
yes,
years.
Yes, they have.
Yeah.
You know, Lego is a fascinating business story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the CEO of the credit union here in town worked for Lego.
Really?
At one point in his career.
That's interesting.
Yeah, he came to see my students and he told that story. And
what?
Yeah, and so they had to kind of reinvent themselves because what they were finding is, I think they called it the auntie effect or the grandma effect, like... Families weren't buying Legos because senior members of the family had like, oh, don't buy that. I've got a bins full of it.
Oh,
just as I literally have been, I could build a house in Lego. I have so much Lego in my house, but oh, maybe I should fix my house with Lego. But, and so they had to figure out how could they, so they changed their model and that's why they sell them as sets now.
Oh,
so, you know, Millennium Falcon,
right.
Lego or. Death Star Lego or...
Yeah. The anti-effect. I like it.
Yeah. Or something like that. Yeah. But anyway, they got into the advent calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which was the highlight for my boys.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Because you've done the Lego one?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Several years. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, of course,
And they're adorable, like little Christmas trees and little Santa sleighs. And they're, you keep them. You play with them.
Yeah. And the most recent one is the Star Wars.
They've got
a Star Wars. It's sort of a
weird.
Calendar.
I think my nephew has that, but it's kind of a weird. I don't understand that.
The connection between Star Wars and Christmas?
Maybe. I don't know. Well, I mean, you know, Joseph Campbell and who wrote about myths, and he would probably draw a parallel between Star Wars and the Nativity. Right?
Sure.
Yeah.
There's a thesis in that.
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
You know, maybe R2-D2 is baby Jesus.
Yeah, maybe. So, speaking of toys, Play-Doh has a calendar, of course.
Play-Doh
has an advent calendar, yes. And so...
Well, really?
Yeah. Which, you know, that's a lot of packaging, again, but...
They must be teeny tiny.
They are, yeah, little tiny tubs.
Oh.
And...
And we like miniature things, too. We're obsessed with... Right now on Facebook, miniature everything is a thing.
Yeah.
Miniature cooking, miniature house building, mini, everything is mini.
We're downsizing.
I think it's... I don't know. It's like an obsession with...
Maybe we can become like... Did you see the movie Downsizing?
No.
Oh, it's where people got miniaturized so that our impact on the planet was less?
Yeah.
Yeah. Seems... Perfectly reasonable, actually. Yeah. Just the act of actually miniaturizing us would be challenging. But the key is with the Play-Doh calendars, you get sparkly Play-Doh before Christmas. Like just
sparkly.
In the last. Yeah. So there's the special. Mm. So that, I think, is the key. So it's not just about everything being like, oh, we get 24 of everything or 12 of everything. It's the countdown gets more exciting.
Oh, as you get closer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like the last Lego was always a Santa.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. There's the
And you have to actually build, like it didn't come pre, it was just a bag of, right?
Yeah.
And so the boys would open the bag and try to make it at the breakfast table.
Oh,
and I'd be like, okay, but we're going to be late for school. And they're like, no, we're missing a piece. We can't make the sleigh, you know?
So,
yeah.
That's really sweet. And I think that's like...
Stressful, but sweet.
Yeah. Well, it's like value-added toy when you have to actually make something.
Oh, yeah.
So, I think that too. Speaking of that, there's a Christmas jigsaw puzzle advent calendar.
Oh, that's a good idea.
So this one is kind of interesting because I was on a site looking at advent calendars that they have in Europe. And holy, like the UK...
Craftsmanship.
And, yeah, the UK puts out huge numbers of advent calendars. So they're way ahead of us in this regard. In terms of the diversity, but the Royal National Lifeboat Institution has put out this jigsaw puzzle calendar, and all the proceeds actually go towards helping prevent tragedies at sea.
That's such a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that would be super fun. Hey, like you could just, every single door that opens is an 80 piece jigsaw puzzle. So you sit down with your family, like rah, rah, rah.
I can every just see single it. Day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that must be pricey, but fun.
And then your final puzzle is a one big really beautiful Christmas scene.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be like the last day. I know, right? It's like it just seems
I have friends.
It's more and more about activity and less about the gift at the like just opening it and going chocolate. Blah.
Yeah.
You know, now it's about like having an experience, which is really nice.
And that's where the world is going. It's less about stuff and more about doing things.
So there's also a Harry Potter advent calendar.
Oh, of course there is.
Of course. And
so, what do you do there?
Well, it's just it's lots of magical accessories, right? So like the jewelry things, charms, bracelets, you know, there's rings.
Mm.
So it's all kind of just Potter themed little pieces of jewelry. But I don't know, for a Potterhead, then that would be the bomb,
No
to get
kidding.
It on December 1st.
Wow.
And then there's a Jelly Belly.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's easy.
Yeah. And there's also a Playmobil.
Yes.
I think we had that one time. And you do have to also assemble those.
Mm-hmm.
And.
Okay, wait. All right. Are you ready for this
one?
You ready?
Yeah.
Pringles.
Oh.
There is a Pringles advent calendar. I don't remember our Pringles incident.
Yes.
Pringles is not food.
No.
He's like, Pringles is a food. It's good.
Not a food.
Anyway, Pringles does have an advent calendar. And they have tiny little tubs. 40-gram tubs.
Aw. Mini, anything mini. Same thing. Yeah, Halloween's mini too, but mini chocolate. Who else has one? Kinder Surprise?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they're not all Kinder Surprises. Like, sometimes it's just a piece of chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of one of the first companies that did that thing where you have to put together your thing, mm-hmm. right? Like you have to actually work at it. Mm-hmm. You don't just get a prize.
And it's weird. They're illegal in the States.
I know.
And because they guns. Are a choking hazard.
Yeah, but yeah. guns.
I know. Makes no sense.
It is frightening.
We fear romaine lettuce and Kinder Surprise, but.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway. Romaine calm.
Yes.
I love that one.
What's the other one? Let us romaine calm.
All right.
Or another one is every time I want to start a diet, salad is salad is recalled. I'm like, yeah.
And I remember too, like Willie Nelson. Was it Willie Nelson? No, I can't remember. I think it was Willie Nelson who was busted for marijuana possession. Mm-hmm. And he said it was right at the time of the spinach E. coli. Oh, okay. Skin. He's like, well, it's a good thing it wasn't spinach or I'd be dead by now. Oh, anyway, okay, goodness. Back to the advent
yes,
calendar.
Back to that. There's absolutely not going to be a lettuce advent calendar this year.
Not this year, no. For sure.
No.
But there are other food ones.
Oh, my lovely gosh. Food and ones. They are the best.
Yeah, yeah, like the Naked Marshmallow Company has an advent oh. calendar. Yeah, festive flavored marshmallows behind each door. And then you'll get all kinds of different flavors, like salted caramel, candy floss, gingerbread, mint chocolate chip. And
fun.
Then on Christmas morning, yes. you get the marshmallow, a chocolate-covered spoon, and a skewer for toasting it, and like all that stuff. So it's like a little experience.
You could have like an advent calendar store.
You probably could. Yeah. I bet you there is one in London.
I'm sure there is.
Because they're totally like yeah. over the top with yeah. this. And then you mentioned before we started today, the jam advent
oh,
calendar.
Oh, yeah, the jam one.
There's lots of them on the UK, like their site. So
I do love their jam.
Jam and marmalade. Mm-hmm. And they come in little tiny glass.
Oh, the little tiny. Yeah. I know.
And
again.
Their little lid pop mm-hmm. open and you have a special jam every morning on your toast. Mm-hmm. That's different.
Lovely.
Than the morning before.
I know. Bon Maman, who is a French jam maker, has one. And they were for sale at a great food store in Calgary, but I was not successful in my attempt to acquire such a thing. I mean, I could make my own.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, right? You can get these tiny little jars.
Yeah.
Make your own jam. Mm-hmm. Or do a jam exchange with other people who do jam.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the interesting one is the little pot of jam that you get on Christmas morning is whiskey marmalade.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Kick off the day.
Nice. Get nice. Tanked. Yeah. Boom, on your morning toast.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's so many more, which we'll talk about, but we kind of have to get...
I know. Our time, except one more before we take a break. So I thought you'd enjoy this one. The Carluccio's Luxury Advent Calendar.
Ooh.
So it's...
Tell me more.
It's Italian-inspired. And it has all of the products, the luxury products from Carluccio's collection, which include the limoncello chocolates, truffle butter.
Oh, my gosh.
Aged balsamic vinegar.
Oh, my gosh.
Torroni pieces and porcini oil. Wouldn't you love that?
Yes.
I don't even want to know how much that one
no.
is.
No.
But just, you know.
It might have to go to Italy to get it.
Might have to.
Yeah.
Today we're talking about advent calendars mm-hmm. as we count down towards Christmas.
So put your hoser hat on. Eh?
Yes. Well, you just had to jump into that.
I had to.
So the story goes, because you know? We talked about all of the... all of the food and toy based calendars mm-hmm. and some of the luxury calendars and some of the crazy outrageous ones, but we're coming down to the real mm-hmm. explosion, and that is the adult themed calendars.
Yes.
With alcohol and other things. Anyway, okay.
Yeah.
It turns out
whiskey and
yeah, gin. Yeah. Gin has huge numbers.
Oh, gin is making a phenomenal comeback.
Yeah.
Do you know that gin is just vodka with flavor?
Really?
Yes.
I had no idea.
I know. I learned that.
Well, I kind of feel ripped off now.
Well, no, because there's a distillery in Revelstoke, and I did a tour thing, and that's what they said. It's just vodka with juniper berries. And I'm like, what?
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know why that surprised me so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
Anyway.
Okay. Give it a new name, and, you know, you can rebrand
gin
something.
Gin is making a comeback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it turns out, and I thought... beer advent calendars were a fairly new phenomenon mm-hmm. because I remember listening to a guy on CBC.
I mean,
not
you could
that
argue that
ago.
Every 2-4 is actually.
Well, it is. And that's what happened. This guy at a craft brewery just said, you know, one day he looked at the 24 case and said, wait a minute. Yeah. I could make an ad. And so they did. And so that was crazy times. Sold out so fast. And then, of course, all these other breweries jumped on the bandwagon mm-hmm. very quickly. So mm-hmm. it's only been happening for a few years now. But I was trying to find out, okay, who was the first craft brewery to do this?
Yeah.
But I don't think it was a craft brewery because I think it was Bob and Doug McKenzie's.
Yes.
And a guy on there wrote about that, that he thinks that they accidentally created the beer advent calendar. Mm-hmm. So do you remember?
Well, no, I remember the Great White North, and they sang the, didn't they do the 12 days of Christmas?
Yeah, they did.
And at the end it was, and a beer. Right?
In a tree.
Yes.
Because they had to finish the line.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, of course, there would be a cause and effect there.
Yeah. So, at some point during that time, they had this advent calendar that had beer and Canadian things, like some back bacon.
Back bacon. Right?
So, it was...
Nobody even eats back bacon.
I don't know what... I don't think most Canadians know what back bacon actually is. Mm-hmm. Anyway. So, there's a very strong likelihood that Bob and Doug McKenzie are the core of this beer advent calendar renaissance.
And they are the core of so many things.
Yeah. Wow. And so now we've got, like, they can barely keep them on the shelves. Mm-hmm. Like, but here's the thing. You can make one yourself.
Oh, for sure.
You can totally do it yourself.
Yeah, because I looked at them one time and I thought, well, for that price, I could make my own.
Yeah. And there's lots of people that encourage that. Like even the breweries that make them say you can make your own.
For sure. And design if you can buy tall single tall cans.
Of, yep. And tall bottles. And you don't have to do 24. You can do 12.
No.
You could choose. Like we know the 12 days of Christmas is actually the 24th to January 6th.
Yes, to the 6th.
But you could choose the 12 days right before Christmas. Mm-hmm. Or you could do every other day. Because I think we did that in our family.
And you can just... open the, you don't necessarily have to drink a beer every day.
Yeah.
You have to monitor
a beer
your
every
consumption.
Morning. Yes. Yes. Drink responsibly.
Yes.
So I feel pretty good that Bob and Doug McKenzie are the ground zero of beer calendars.
I'll go with that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And then, of course, like we mentioned the gin, there's also wine calendars. Of course, that's easy. There's wine advent calendars that are so significant that you... their mail order and they arrive at your door every day.
Wow.
Yeah. And so those are a little bit higher end.
Yes.
And then there's ones in the shape of little trees. They have the little bottles as little ornaments.
Oh.
So like a little tiny wine shelf. You know how they're sitting at an angle like that, or sitting
And
flat?
So they're like little airplane bottles of wine?
Yeah. Yeah. But they're like in the little, you know how a wine rack goes, right?
Yes.
Where they have two little holes where the wine sits in.
Yes.
Well, like little wine
Christmas
trees.
So then it looks like a yeah.
And it lights up and these are
how terribly fun.
Yeah. It's called the tipsy tree.
Oh, actually, of course.
Yeah. And yeah, so there's lots of wine options out there if you like wine.
And whiskey and liquor. And,
yes. Yeah. And scotch. So the scotch one, so there's actually a company out there that the UK that they ship all over the world. That's called Drinks by the Dram.
Mm-hmm.
They've been doing this for a little while. So they've got a scotch
one. It's a wee dram.
All rare brands of scotch.
It's not Scotland.
Well, it could be Scotland.
Oh, yes.
Well, except Drinks by the Dram also does a tequila advent calendar. Okay. So it might be just a company that collects all of the, that
it's
collects all of these awesome brands from all over the place
and
distributes them as advent calendars. But the tequila one has all these special Mexican tequilas and they're,
tequila is kind of the new scotch, I think.
Well, it's people are discovering that there's 3,000 different varieties of tequila and that they actually taste different from each other. And you can really, you know, curate an experience with tequila.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And it's a different kind of, it's got some medicinal things going on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
That would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
So then there's, but the scotch one, I think what makes it super valuable, and it's expensive too, but that it's got, you know, all these world-renowned scotches that might be, you know, $150 to buy a bottle.
A bottle, $500. So you can just try them out.
Yes.
And one dram.
And then you might discover that you like this particular kind of scotch, and then you would choose. But why would you spend $300 on a bottle of scotch if you weren't sure you were going to like it, right?
You better be sure.
That's right. So I feel like it's a taste testing kind of experience.
Yeah. They probably have like cigar calendars too.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of that sort of thing, I think the big drama recently is...
Yeah, three guesses. First two don't count.
The cannabis calendar.
Cannabis calendar.
Yes. So that's become huge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, apparently, last year was the first year that a Vancouver company put one out. And of course, this is pre-legalization.
And they would have been illegal.
Absolutely illegal. Yeah. And they still are, technically, because you're not supposed to... distribute without, oh, I don't know, whatever it is, there's a whole bunch of regulations in place. Lots of things will settle out and change over the next few years. But right now, apparently, the distribution of cannabis advent calendars is not regulated and permitted. And it's because it makes sense. This is kind of a child's thing, right? Like normally, if you colorful advent calendar with little tiny doors to open and little tiny pouches inside, what is the likelihood a child in your home might think that's for them?
Yeah.
So that's, the health officials are all very concerned about that aspect of it.
Yeah.
But on the other side, we've got all these, you know, like gin calendars, the beer, and scotch wine calendars. Those are fine. Yeah. But that's liquor, the normalization.
Quicker, I guess. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's just the normalization of alcohol in our society. But
it'll happen.
It will happen. Yeah. But it's interesting because last year, I think the company produced 150 of these advent calendars. Of course, they sold out immediately.
What were they thinking, 150?
And they had orders that they thought they could fill up to 300 more, and they had 1,500 people on the wait list.
Wow.
So they thought, this is a thing. So now this year, it's available again, but now there's two or three other companies.
And it's so interesting because it's a niche market, and it's like, it's a great business model.
Yeah. Well, and I think, like I just said about the testing, I think you give people an option to try small quantities of anything, and then they just determine what's right for them, right? Cannabis is a really good example of this, because with your advent calendar, you get 24 strains.
And then you can figure out what your preference is, if you're so inclined.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people, especially people who are using it for medicinal purposes, like even just sleep, relaxation, whatever, right? Like instead of a glass of wine, they might be interested in this. You don't know what's going to have that effect on you until you try it.
No.
It's a huge amount of experimentation.
Yes.
And you could do your research and learn about the different strains.
It's safely sourced is the other thing, right?
Yeah. And so, I don't know. I kind of think it's not a bad idea.
I'm sure the black market isn't.
Yeah.
In the advent calendar business.
Probably not. No. And these companies actually want to keep your business.
Oh, yeah.
So they're not going to just give you dreck.
Exactly.
Yeah. And they're also trying to educate at the same time. This has been a massive change for us, right? So we're all trying to learn all the terms again about strains and sativa and indica and all these things and terpenins or terpenoids or whatever I'm sorry.
I don't know.
I should really get my vocab right before I do this. But
that's all right.
I do feel like as I'm learning more about it, I realize, there's actually like a heck of a lot of people out there that have been using just for sleep or just for, you know, whatever the purpose is, that really don't know very much about what they're using.
Yes.
And now's the time.
Or what? Or, you know, whiskey or wine or big pharma, like
Well,
there's options.
The advantage of big pharma is you've got this big list of all of the things that are in the thing you're using and all the list of side effects and all these things. So you go in it with knowledge.
Yes.
Whereas here, like, you didn't have knowledge before.
No.
And now we have knowledge. Now we have the ability to determine what it is that you want to do.
Yeah. And I mean, I think, you know, physicians are having to learn all about this stuff too. And it's been interesting. I don't think it's been nearly as controversial as everybody. Like this idea that everybody's suddenly, we were all going to be stoned all day, every day, and forget how to drive and do our job. And, you know, No.
I think it's kind of just people that have been using, that have been keeping it quiet, are now able
they're
to
no
talk
longer
about it.
Being criminalized for a choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And hopefully we can get, because, man, when you learn the history of this and why it was criminalized in the first place, and it's so ridiculous, it's just about corporate control oh, what a terrible, terrible tragedy we've been you know, living these past few decades with the people in prison for possession and the cultural stigma too, like this, the fact that cannabis has been part of other cultures south of Mexico for
centuries.
And so essentially, they're being criminalized for a cultural choice. And so here we are with our glass of red wine and our beer at the end of the day, thinking we're fine. Everything's
$400 scotch and our expensive cigar.
And those people are criminals because of what they choose. It's like, wait a minute.
It's less sort of like saying carrots are illegal. I just find it silly. I always have. But yeah, so it's here now. Merry Christmas. A new kind of greenery for the holidays.
Well, that's Yeah. And then somebody just said too that about where you, or maybe it was Arnold Schwarzenegger, I think, when he was governor of California, he was also trying to legalize it back then. And I can't remember who it was that somebody was being interviewed, and maybe it was him. And then they said, doesn't it make you afraid? And doesn't it worry you about this and that? And the response was, it's a plant. Mm-hmm. We just can't be afraid of plants. No. Let's
fear not the plant.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, we learn lots about other plants. Mm-hmm. It's really not that hard. Mm-hmm. Let's just do the research.
Let's just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So yes, your Christmas can be greener than mm-hmm. this year than mm-hmm. ever before.
Exactly. let's see. There also was, we saw one this morning on online.
This is the piece de resistance.
Adorable, really. Mm-hmm. And so appropriate for mm-hmm. for this show.
Yeah.
It's the short story one.
The short story Isn't advent that great? Calendar. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Best experience ever.
And you could do little artist trading cards. And ultimately you can make your own.
This is the thing. And
right?
One of the things that I'm doing, I'm trusting that my kids aren't going to listen to this show because they rarely do unless I sit down and make them, is that we're creating an activity advent calendar.
There you go.
Yeah. So every day there's an activity, a little challenge I'm throwing out there.
Nice.
Yeah. Everything from make a snow angel to bake cookies with your grandma to mm-hmm. whatever, right? So they've got to fulfill all of these activities.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then at the end, on the last day, if they fulfilled all their activities, then they get a special gift.
Oh, lovely. Mm-hmm. Oh, how engaging.
Yeah.
I have made them in the past and they're not attractive, but they did the trick. So Martha, I remember posting a picture of it on Facebook and saying, Martha Stewart, I think your job is safe.
Yeah. You're good. You're good. You're fine. No competition for me.
No.
But the experience is what counts.
Yeah. I mean, like, my goal would be, imagine if I could, I'm learning, trying to be a baker. I would like to make a cookie advent calendar.
Yeah.
Those look fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are cookie advent mm-hmm. calendars. It's just that they'd have to be
calendars. Or,
yeah. They'd have to be preserved in some way to somehow not go bad.
Yeah. I'd probably eat them all before I.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
And now,
as the art world turns, a dramatic moment in the arts.
Well, sometimes our dramatic moment isn't very fun.
No.
It's very sad.
It's very sad. Mm-hmm. And there's something sacred about countdowns, right? Because mm-hmm. we all know there is always an end coming.
Yeah.
Right? Whether the end is Christmas morning or the end is the end of someone's time here on Earth. And so we learned this morning that Harry Leslie Smith, who was a veteran, 95 years old, from the UK, lived in Belleville, and he turned a social activist in his later years. And he said he would use his last remaining years on the planet to make the world a better place. Mm. And he was a superhero in the eyes of so many. Mm-hmm. He had a podcast called Harry's Last Stand. He wrote a book. He had a tremendous following on social media. Twitter especially is flooded with messages for Harry and his family. He lost he lived in abject poverty, survived the war, lost a daughter to, or a daughter to tuberculosis. Mm. And he advocated his whole life for the National Health Service in the UK and for refugees. And he actually went to a refugee camp in his 90s.
Wow.
To say, you need not be afraid of these people. You need to be afraid of the people who put them here, is what he was saying.
Yeah.
Right. So, poverty activist, survived the Great Depression, the Second World War, post-war austerity. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he passed away this morning, November 28th.
Yeah. In hospital in Belleville.
Yeah. And I first, actually, I didn't really know very much about him. I just heard his name in passing until he went into hospital.
Mm-hmm. And they call him the world's oldest rebel.
Oh,
yeah.
But he's written 5 books. Like he's it's not like just fresh in the last couple of years of his life. He's actually, he wrote 5 books on his, experiencing the Great Depression and that whole post-war austerity thing. And he wrote columns for The Guardian, The New Statesman, The Daily Mirror, And he also has been a speaker at conferences, political conferences. So he's been really doing a lot of work in his last few decades.
Mm-hmm. And because of his life experience, and he watched where the world was going, and he was the son of a coal miner, and he talked about Britain in the 20s and that it was barbarous and bleak. His sister died of tuberculosis. You know, he started working at age 7 doing manual labor at a brewery.
Yeah, age 7.
Yeah, and like, so he said, we're going back to those dark and bleak times, and I can't let it happen. And so before he died, his son, who has taken over the Twitter account, of course, said, I told Harry before he fell into a deep sleep about the concerns rippling across Twitter for him, and he said to me, tell them I love each of them so much. Mm. Like, he just, there was something about Harry.
Yeah, yeah. Something about Harry.
Aww. And so his example, like, let's, you know, you could do a kindness advent calendar. You could do something nice for a random stranger every day.
Yeah. You know? And even learning about those past events, because I think that's one of our biggest problems
Canadian history.
Exactly.
Calendar.
And it makes you appreciate.
Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah.
This could be a new publishing venture.
Yes. Because I think until you know the things that have come before.
Yes.
It's really hard to make decisions on the challenges of today. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the problems, is that we're making decisions based on our immediate future, not based on past successes or mistakes, but instead thinking about what is this going to get me in the next 5
years,
right? People can't see past the end of their nose right now. So I think we need to kind of take the long view, like you've always advocated, and look back before we look forward and say, okay, that happened, that happened, that happened. We don't want that. Mm-hmm. We've got this to deal with right now, but we don't want to go back to that.
No.
We're not dealing with the same thing, but we don't want to make that same mistake.
Right.
So instead, and you've always said this too, we can't solve the problems of today with the solutions of yesterday.
Tomorrow's problems can't be solved with yesterday's solutions.
Right. So, but we still have to learn from yesterday. We have to realize what yesterday looked like before we can decide not to go back
there. Yeah. And, you know, Harry also said when he talked to the, he was involved with the UN, of course, and the refugee, the UN HCR, which I think is the UN body that
did the sustainable goals.
Well, no, they oversee the refugee crisis.
Oh, okay.
Human. I don't know what it stands for. UNHCR. That he was quoted as saying, "I think there are many things we can do if we put our minds to it, and we shouldn't be leaving anyone out."
Yeah,
which is why I think he resonated so much, especially with like millennials are a big fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, podcasts are the thing, right? So if he had a podcast, then he would have had a millennial
following.
Yeah,
and it's still there. Yeah. We'll miss you, Harry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
And also that sometimes people like that inspire a whole, you know, number
of... Oh, it's transformational.
Yeah, of people to follow in his footsteps. Mm-hmm. And so perhaps he will inspire other people who lived through the Depression to say, okay, it's time for me to speak before my time on this planet is gone. And we've seen so much... You know, I don't know, rhetoric about the old people vote, right? That seniors tend to vote conservatively and young people tend to not vote. So we've got this kind of discussion to have between us. But there certainly are a lot of really thoughtful, brilliant seniors out there.
Absolutely.
Who know darn well what depression
for
and recession looks like.
Yeah, we have no idea. None. Yeah. So, and for the most part, they made it that way. They didn't want us to ever have that.
Yeah, well, this is the thing about unions, too. When I hear about union busting and all this stuff going on, like, people fought and died for properly paid working conditions. And we're just busting them up left, right, and center and making fun of unions and saying, that's, you know, it's really disheartening because it's just like the women's vote too, right? Like, nobody remembers the time where women were beaten and tortured and killed for supporting women's voting rights. And yet we're all just like, I don't know if I get around to voting, maybe not. So I feel like, we need to remember these things and the people that did them are starting, they're few and far between if they're not here at all.
Yeah.
And so, Yeah. I feel like it's
pretty, it's a lot to think hard about.
It's just hard to,
but that's how we prepare for the light, you know, which is what Advent calendars are really about.
Yeah.
And we prepare by being informed and being thoughtful and mm-hmm. yeah.
So. It's just also a time of being grateful mm-hmm. and not over busying yourself mm-hmm. with consuming mm-hmm. and the perfect.
Yeah. Don't cover it up with food or liquor.
Yeah.
Or stuff.
Yeah. Like we're in a really different world right mm-hmm. now. And we have to be super careful to not gloss over it with the shiny object.
Yes.
And
so, yeah, I've never felt like, for some people, Christmas is a welcome distraction. Mm. I sort of think, I think it's more of a time to reflect.
Yeah.
Or always has seemed so to me. But
yeah, and a lot of people have said that it's time just to like relax and mm-hmm. be with family.
Yes.
And I'm totally down with that. Mm-hmm. Because if we, like, and now that, I mean, the Sundays used to be the time to do that. Mm-hmm. And now that we're kind of a 7 day a week, 24-hour day
society.
Then we have to dedicate certain times of the year to do this. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those times.
This is one of those times. Mm-hmm. And the Globe and Mail crossword puzzle will be coming soon.
Yay!
The I don't know, I just one. Had to throw that in. Yeah. The holiday crossword.
Yeah.
That's and that insane. Takes a lot of time. That could take the entire Christmas holiday.
I know.
At least for me to do.
Do you have it out? Like, I just leave it out on the dining room table.
Yes.
Everybody gets to work on it, mm-hmm. although I'm usually the only one who does, because people come along and look at it and go, ooh, mm-hmm. it's so big. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's been fun, because if the kids' friends have been over and they're like, I know that one. It's like, yay.
Yay.
Da-da-da-da-da. So it becomes a extra little.
Oh, why Skype? Or I FaceTime with my friend out east and we compare notes.
Really?
Like, I still can't get 74 across. Oh, she's nice. Like, oh no, I figured it out.
Oh,
right.
Or more like 374 across.
Yeah. Yeah. I usually get stuck about in the 70s. Like, okay.
Well, I got strategies now, right? Like, I actually just do it quarterly.
I do the quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's just too much to be flipping around and trying to find all the things.
I can't do. See, Dave does it that way. I can't do it that way.
I can't cope.
Yeah.
It's just too much paper.
It's too much paper. But you know what is good when you can't cope?
What?
Is fresh, good for you food.
Nice segue.
I know. It was a bit of a stretch. Not lettuce, maybe this week, but.
Maybe not.
No.
Well, there's other kinds of lettuce. It's just romaine. It's true. It's only because it's the farming techniques that's used for romaine lettuce, especially for the mass production.
It's mostly water anyway.
Yeah. And so when the source problem is mm-hmm. that that particular lettuce grower is using a water source that has cattle, you know, using the same water source. So, of course,
it's going to happen.
Poop and water,
cucumbers
it's
too.
It's going to be a problem.
Apparently.
Yeah. And so there's certain vegetables that are more susceptible, but we certainly have all different forms of lettuce that are not being irrigated with poop water. Yeah. So, you know, it's okay to still eat green things.
Absolutely.
You just have to choose your
and
product.
And orange things and red things. And
yes.
Get
have
all
you gone
the
out to get
in?
Your grandpa's oranges?
No,
yet?
I haven't, but I will. I will shortly.
Yes.
So a big thank you again to DeMills for all of their support of community and, mm-hmm. You know.
And bringing in all the good things.
Yeah, health and nutrition.
It's time for Brussels sprouts, too.
Yes. Oh.
You got excited for a half second there and then you realized, oh, yeah.
It's such an English thing. The French people don't eat Brussels sprouts. So I think I lived in BC. I'd never even seen them before. I was like, what is that?
Baby cabbages from hell.
Or baby Martian brains, something. I don't know. Not for me. So you can have mine.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's what my mom says. Oh, you can have my share of Brussels sprouts. She has one. One every Christmas.
That's good. That's good.
She tries. But it's all about how you make them.
Yeah.
I'm
okay.
Just going to throw that out there.
Well. Deep fried with cheese, maybe, but otherwise, nothing.
Well, you eat Italian food.
Yes, I do.
A lovely little crispy prosciutto, red onion, balsamic vinegar, and then grill them. Cut them in half and grill them.
Nice.
Done.
Okay.
Just throwing that out there.
All right.
Anyway, but thank you, yes, to DeMills for being a great source
there
of
there won't be
produce.
A Brussels sprout advent calendar. At least not in my house.
A Brussels sprout advent calendar. That's a good idea. That'll be my gift to you.
Oh, lovely. I can't wait.
I'll make it so that you love Brussels sprouts by December 26th.
That's funny.
You'll be in love with Brussels sprouts. You'll be the poster girl for Brussels sprouts.
There you go. There you go. All right. Well, think up your own advent calendars and make sure you get out and about the season. And
yes,
we'll be back one more time.
Yes. No, two more times. The end. Yeah, before Christmas break. And that'll be moving time for the station
right.
as well.
Yes.
Yeah. So we'll not see much of a change in what you hear on the airwaves,
no.
because we're just moving all the stuff,
downstreet,
but continuing to talk.
Yeah.
So we'll still be here.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be kind of exciting to be in new digs though.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be weird. We better take some pictures.
They should number all the boxes 1 to 24. Like, oh, look what's in this one.
Yeah. And we just unpack and have the 24 days of January.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead. Okay, wait, I should take a selfie of us because there's not going to be very many more of these.
I know.
Yeah, with us and Eric here in the background.
Are.
Oh, I can't do it. Wait.
Here's our selfie.
Happy Christmas, everyone.
Have a great week.
Yes.